this apostle of the Lord is going to bring us to another place in the kingdom of God. So, Brother Mahesh, we receive you now in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Now that you are seated, let's stand up. Raise your hands. Say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is risen from the dead. Therefore, I believe in signs, wonders, miracles. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we are releasing miracles for your life. All righty. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you are pastors? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are in some kind of leadership? Okay. Great. Thank you. Good. How many of you are believers? Good. I hope I didn't force the Apostles' Creed on you. All right. Whenever, so as leaders then, we, is this picking me up also? Is this the one? Is the sound? Okay. So I can put that away. By the way, we were going to show a little video. If we have time, I was going to show you that Arabic thing of Bonnie speaking Arabic. I just remembered. If we have time later, I might share it with you. It's fun. Now, when we are gathered together like this, or in any instance as believers, where the word is ministered, where the word is released, God confirms his word. So, there's a time where you want to get in a place where you're cooperating with what God wants to do in any situation. It's not what you want to do. What does God want to do? And you are an emissary, an ambassador of the King of Glory in every situation. He's not apart from you. He's with you. In fact, you carry him into every situation. And so you train yourself. So wherever the word. You share the word. Number one, you're a carrier of the word. Therefore, you try to do everything you can to bring the word of God into your situation. For example, often I would land in a country, whether, I remember many times in different parts of Africa, I would land and they would do something you could never tell what would happen. I remember one time we landed in the Congo and we landed far away from the airport. And then, about 200 feet from the airport, 200 yards. And then two cars, limousines, drove up all the way from the main part of the airport. And I was kind of annoyed. I said, who the heck are they going to pick up here and then have us travel? And suddenly they open the door and they say, is there a Reverend Chabda here? I said, yes. So this is the car for you. And they brought the Prime Minister, asked for his card. The airplane to stop and his car to pick me up because I was a VIP coming into his country. And but that wasn't it. And then they had the video news people waiting at the airport. And I wasn't, I didn't go because the Prime Minister was waiting. I didn't have to go through regular customs or immigration. They just took our passports and say, we'll be back. And one of his helpers. And at the as we came out, there were the video people. And in some of those places, you never know how much time they're going to give you. So if they put a camera in front of you, what are you going to say? And they may give you 2 minutes. They may give you 20 minutes. So they said, could you please tell us and our audience your name and where you come from? And I said, my name is Mahesh Chabda, and I want everyone listening to know that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That anyone watching here can believe for healing, and the Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. And this Lord and Savior, Jesus, God raised Him from the dead, and He broke every curse. And there are people watching who have curses, that the curses can be broken, and I come from the United States of America. I literally did that. I remember. Why? Because for me, and I, since the Lord was training me, and I was a willing disciple, that He will confirm His word. So, why am I saying this? Because this session to train you to move in the anointing, and especially in the things of healing and miracles, but how to carry it further, and how to be a carrier of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and appreciate, by the way, anything and everything the Lord is doing. The more you steward this vibration, the more intense it'll get in your life. Now, healing, we call part of it as a kind of entity out there. The more you appreciate it and let it just permeate it in its juices. Have you done an experiment with osmosis where you put a colored liquid, a potato, peel a potato, and put it in a colored liquid, and whatever, you can give it 2 days, whatever. Bring it out, and the potato is totally green. It's whatever the color you had. What was it? That's called osmosis. It's, you cut it, and it depends on how long you have let it immerse. The more you have let that immerse in the juice, the more the juice is permeated inside. So you permeate in this, and hey, Marilyn and Brian are there. Hi, they're dear friends of mine. She's one of the prettiest blondes around that I've known. You know, I told you that I like kisses from blondes. And by the way, where is Krista? Is Krista here? Yeah, come over here for a moment. You're going to... We had told you that... I wanted her to share a little bit. Yeah, sure. And the Lord gave you some kind of touch. Tell us what happened last night.
Wow. it was just amazing. God is working just unbelievable. Just last night, just even standing up here, could you not feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? I mean, it was like a wave just coming through this entire place. And I'll tell you what, the perimeters around here was shook. I really believe that last night people in their beds woke up and went, what happened? I think that the power of God just went everywhere. Well, I've been suffering with endometriosis since I've been 21, and it's gotten so bad that I've been to the hospital over 20 times. I've had 3 surgeries. I've lost my left ovary and my left tube. My cysts get so big, they get the size of melons and grapefruits. So this past summer, I have my one ovary, and I get pain that is just, it goes for about 6 months where I literally cannot get up out of bed. And it is, I'm living on pain medicine, and every day I'm just praying on the floor, God, please take this from me. I can't do it. Because you know, when you are in so much pain, you are beat down, and you're trying so hard to keep your faith and keep your focus on God, but your entire body and being starts to just collapse, and the enemy just comes in at that point. So last night, when I came up here, I didn't realize, like, all right, well, God, I want to heal, and I'll take it. And so I laid, all of a sudden, the Spirit just came over me. I could feel literally something pulling outside of my body. And I could just feel it like convulsing. And I thought, God just said, Krista, don't fear, just let it go. And all of a sudden, right then, it just, boom, just came out of me. And I could see it. It was like this cloud that came up. And when I went to go sit up, I couldn't move. I went, whoa. And I went walking back to my seat. And I almost started falling over. And all of a sudden, this strange tingling feeling that I have never experienced before. It wasn't a pain. It was a tingle. And it started right here on the one ovary that I have. Now, mind you, they told me this ovary is bad and that they had to take it out. So I would have never been able to have kids. So I'm holding on to the one ovary with all my might, you know. And so I started tingling. And all of a sudden, this heat started forming in, like, my uterus area. Like a heat. My grandmother looked at me and she said, are you okay? Are you in pain? I go, Grandma, I'm not in pain. I can't even explain it to you. This is God. I'm healed. God said right then, you're healed. And I knew at that moment I was healed. And I can't tell you, I am excited to wait for the next several months because I'm not having any pain. And I'll tell you, when I walked out of here, all of a sudden I got, because isn't the enemy, he doesn't want me to feel good. You know, he wants me to suffer. And all of a sudden, as I walked out of here, I got that sharp pain. And I said, excuse me, Satan, but I am healed. So you can go on. So amen, y'all. Thank you.
Are you married yet, Krista? Oh, good. Oh, wonderful. That's great. My daughter is married to a Navy pilot. Is that right? Whoa, see? It's wonderful. Her father-in-law happens to be here. He's wandering around. All right, turn to 2 Kings 4. You're already there in it? Wow, you're fast. My Indian friend. What's your name, Shan? Sheba. I don't know why I thought Shanti. See, that Shanti means peace. All right. 2 Kings 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, your sons, and then pour it into all these vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her. She poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And she said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." So, what do you have in the house? And I don't have anything except a jar of oil. I feel the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would come to the church and say, "What do you have? You have all these things to do." Some of you who are pastors, and you have needs for your church, from building projects to missions, needs to projects, things you want to do to feed widows and orphans and all of that. And often, whether it's in this or whether it's in the area of moving more deeply and seeing the manifestations of healing and miracles, and the Lord has brought us to a place where we say, "Doesn't seem like we have anything. Where do we turn?" And the Lord says, "Don't tell me that. What do you have?" "I don't have anything." "Don't tell me that. What do you have?" "Just a jar of oil." That's more than enough. And it's the oil that's the key. And the oil is the manifestation. It's the representative of the Holy Spirit. So, how many of you have been touched by the Holy Spirit? Have some measure of familiarity with the Holy Spirit, all right? How many of you would say you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit? All right. Say, "I have the infilling."
"I have the infilling."
Do you accept that? All right. Is there anybody here who says, "I do not have it"? Because before you leave, then, as pastors here, it's our responsibility to say you do begin with a jar of oil. And that is, I believe, for me, is a type of our being filled with the Holy Spirit. You are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Now the key, the multiplication, is finding empty vessels. And what I find, discover, is I can't pour even a drop into vessels that are stoppered up. Usually these vessels that I'm talking about that are empty out there, if they have a top on there, Either they have to, you have to take the top off, or if it's a big, huge jar of oil that they used to have, if it's there is a top, a clay top on top, that you can't pour anything in. People have to have a break in the stopper so you can pour something in. So we are at a place to, we won't have multiplication until we decide to pour it out. And I believe the Lord is saying, find empty vessels and pour the anointing out. And really, for me, I don't want to over-define things. Anyone who is hungry, who is, look at Luke 4. And you find, what is the focus then of the anointing? Luke 4, 18. The words of Jesus, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I was, just a few months ago, I was in Brazil, and we were in Sao Paulo, and then the suburbs, did two crusades in outside of Rio in the suburbs. One in the section of Niterói and another one in San Gonzalo. And we had to have police come. That we just, there was a big auditorium, one of the biggest that we could get. But there were hundreds waiting outside trying to get in. And for me, these were automatically, they were so hungry and thirsty. They were, these vessels were not stoppered up. They were empty vessels. So the anointing could go and touch them. I saw some amazing, wonderful manifestations there. Among them was, they brought me a three, four-year-old girl, little girl. The father was holding her, and the father said, Pastor Mahesh, my daughter has not walked. She has not moved her legs. Can you pray? I said, of course. And he was holding, and the mother was standing near. And I put my hand out towards the little girl, and the Holy Spirit took my hand and directed it to the mother. And I found myself praying, and it was, again, a word of knowledge. I said, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of witchcraft in your family. And the moment, somewhere it's on video, the moment I broke that curse over the mother, the little girl vomited white stuff that didn't come from her stomach. It was weird white stuff came out. And the next day, she was moving her legs. And so it was a spiritual oppression. And the key was breaking that. The medical doctors had not touched it. But there was a demonic entity. And because of some kind of familial curse, it had a right to be there. And we broke it. So Holy Spirit will give us the word of knowledge of how to break certain things. And people work out systems, methodologies, but that's not really. They go down lists of things. And, you know, I guess it's, now, here is my 527 demons that I'm going to get you through. And, you know, that's, well, that's better than nothing, I suppose. But usually God will give you a specific word of knowledge. Not huge. I mean, you don't have to have exact. Now, this came in four generations ago, and it was your great-great-grandmother who did something. It doesn't have to be that accurate. You just as long as the authority of the Holy Spirit comes in. But that same, it was in that same night that there was a woman. I said, then back there is a lady that has scoliosis. God is healing you right now. And one of the chief executives of Brazilian oil company, the one that, Brasol, whatever, I forget now what the name of it is. It is that kind of basically does all the oil industry in Brazil. He was there, and his wife had a horrible back condition so that she had not been able to work, even clean her house or bend over for about 12 years. And she had almost about a 12-year-old daughter there. And God, so the fire of God came and touched her. So I didn't even touch her. She just, this by the word of knowledge, the zap came. And she ran through the auditorium and jumped onto the stage, and it was much higher, about 3.5-4 feet. And she just literally jumped onto the stage and was so happy. And then the pastor who knew her asked her husband to come up, and they started dancing. And years ago, I didn't know that, but they were the dancing, either tango or something, champions in that region. And when she got this ailment, of course, ever since then, they had never danced or anything. And this was, I mean, they had, and the crowd went wild, and it was wonderful. But that week, they had a pastor's gathering, certain pastors in that area of, I think this was the Niterói. And a lot of pastors were very upset that they had allowed dancing on the stage. Very seriously. And you can see that the difference, I purposely told the story of some that are really hungry and thirsty vessels, and then there are some who are stoppered up because either it is the spirit of legalism or the spirit of pride or religion. We have enough. Or they are victims of their own theology saying, God doesn't do this anymore. Whatever, but it's something will stop, put that stopper on. So then, and especially if they are heads of organizations or churches or denominations, then that whole, all the rest of the denomination suffers. You know, there are exceptions who get hungry on their own, but otherwise, no, God doesn't do this anymore. So what you're doing is all fake. And for me, again, I have, over the years, I find that there are so many hungry and thirsty vessels out there, millions, in fact, all over. In the West as well as out there overseas, not just, there are hungry vessels in America as well as in Europe, all of the thirsty vessels. For me, that's my burden, is to go there. I am not called to pound seed into concrete. So if people say, I don't need the stuff, I said, you happy? I'm happy. It's not my job to convince you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to make you desperate. And believe me, He'll put you in situations that'll drive you to desperation. But if not, that's fine with me. And secondarily, Lord, whatever you're going to give to them, they're not going to use it. Give it to me. Now, he has more than enough for everybody, but hey, if they're not going to make use of it the next 80 years, I'm going to make use of it. Please give it to me. Is that right? Say, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. And then, you see, so you have, number one, don't get an attitude of saying, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, don't say, we have nothing in the house. You have something. And it helps to be around certain kinds of mentors. Elisha was a mentor. And he was able to help her, direct her to the jar of oil. Say, okay, now let's see what we can do with it. So it helped to be around certain mentors who know about production of oil. How we can do. I've had words of knowledge about where people, I've had friends in Texas, and where they can strike and where the oil, I was not in the oil industry, but gave me a word of knowledge of that. The one man who was in the horse racing industry brought his horse to, had me come by while I was there. He said, desperate, please, can you make a house visit for an animal? My heart really is very soft towards animals. And so I made a house visit for a horse and prayed for lengthening of legs. No, not really. But I prayed, and the horse got healed. They were going to put him away. And one broke the record for his section of the thing. So we just, anyway. And the miracle is nearby. We need to get mentored. See, I was mentored for 18 years with my mentor, was Brother Derek Prince, and I served him and my wife. It was our honor to clean his house, take care of his laundry, do that. He was traveling all the time, and then he was widowed, and we were among the ones who helped take care of him, and it was our joy. And when I started traveling, we saw to it that the others took care of him and his natural needs. You find, by the way, that Elisha is enjoying the double portion, is letting loose the double portion of the miracles. But he was, what was he? He was a servant of Elijah. He poured water on the hands. What was it? He took care of Elijah's laundry. He took care of all of the people. Want to say, they've had people who have said, can I just come along and carry your bags? But what they meant was, I just want to be around to lay hands on people when you travel. And I really don't, people invite me and they get offended if, I have others lay hands. I mean, I can ask permission sometimes, but what they need to know is how can they serve the anointing in the practical ways. And you miss often that opportunity. Now, see, I got my wife Bonnie and I, and we were friends, really great friends, and tried to help Sister Ruth Heflin in her time off, and she was one of the greatest emissaries of the glory of God. And then the Lord, in his time frame, he takes them to heaven. And that opportunity is over. The opportunity of serving Derek is over. But in that heyday, when he was discipling, and I was right there, getting all, in fact, he would literally, we would travel, and then he enjoyed, I don't know why, I was like his pet, whatever, I really enjoyed being around him, and we had a lot of laughs, and he teased me a lot. We were in Africa one time, in Mwinelunga, way in the interior where there was the last major ministry that had come by was David Livingston's. So, really? And we flew in by a single engine plane way in the interior and saw some of the most amazing miracles. almost every miracle service I would do, there would be black snakes around that would come. It was very supernatural. That would be nearby. That would have to kill them. So, you know, you find that Satan is very interested in this kind of stuff. He wants to hang out because he used to be around the anointing. Just a little extra thing I'll throw in. Don't be, you know, afraid or scared of satanic attacks. Because whenever the supernatural happens, Satan will be around there somewhere to try to hinder or something. Don't be. In fact, be surprised if he doesn't do something. So, be ready. The ancient house they put us in, and there were holes in the house, and the lizard would fall through right on our little table that we would eat at. But he had a paper napkin. We were all given one paper napkin, and we had this one paper napkin that we had to have for nearly 9 days. We ate every meal, 3 meals. And at the end of the 8 days or whatever, his was perfect. Paper napkin. His was perfect. And mine was each of the pieces, crunchy little thing. And I said, Derek, look at my stuff. What do you do? What amazing anointing do you have? And he said, well, perhaps some have it, some don't. Years later, his wife took me aside because I would tell this story. And she laughed and he would grin when she said, Mahesh, he had a second one he would put out for to just tease you. How many of you know who Derek Prince was? You know, yeah, okay, so you know, this story. But I got in, and then he would knock on my door around. He would do a morning teaching session, and usually after lunch, around 2 o'clock, I opened my little shack door, and it was him. And he had his handwritten notes, and he would give them to me, and he said, I want you to preach from these tonight. And I had, in my opinion, the greatest Bible teacher of the last century hand me his notes and watch me as I taught from them. Talk about a challenge. That was one of the big challenges. And he was very kind, but that was really being discipled, because he would say, now, he would just laugh. He would enjoy it. Because he said, you know, and then he would say, you are the only one who can preach from my notes that I know of. Because he would always teach from it. Anyway, so we see here the key is having a mentor for the multiplication. And it is helpful from time to time to have mentors who can teach you and train you about how you can channel that little jar of oil that you have. Can feed and multiply and take care of not only your whole church body, but the needs of a city, the needs of a nation. And what I want to point out, that the oil doesn't run out until there are no more empty vessels. You know, until they run out of vessels, the oil is there, right? So, the church cannot say, where is the anointing, Lord? I believe the key has been we have not kept pouring it out into empty vessels. And I think we get within certain religious boundaries. It doesn't matter. I don't want to overdefine things. I'm just telling the church to say, keep pouring it out under the direction, and often in the direction of the Holy Spirit, but in a local arena, it should be under the direction of the senior pastor. And we have had too many strange, quackery kind of prophetic ministries running around, giving people a really bad taste of rancid oil. And you senior pastors are responsible for bringing some kind of order there. And it's a challenge. And my heroes are the senior pastors of today, all across the world. And if you pastor a Spittlefield church, you are one of the great heroic super beings, superheroes, whatever you want to call it, X-Men. And we need to see their whatever those things start manifesting and defend the flock. All right. There are things that can block the flow of it, but I don't want to go into that. Let me get into the more into some of the specific that I was going to get into too this morning. Look at Mark 16, though. I want to lay that down. The resurrected Savior comes and he says, go into all the world, verse 15, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything, that will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let's receive the Bible as it has been given. I've seen so many shenanigans about this kind of stuff, and then people who want to argue, oh, God, stop doing this. Then they say, well, this verse was not in this manuscript, and this was, you find that where this verse was not present, also several key books in the apostolic books are missing too. I mean, so you can start taking bites out of the Bible or wherever you don't feel like you want to take up the challenge. And then you have not a holy Bible, you have a Bible full of holes. I believe the whole Bible. I believe every bit of it. When it says genuine leather here, I believe. And that's my attitude. And then there is a change. If you want to move in the present, I feel like God is taking us to new levels of anointing and breakthrough and glory. The glory that was emanating, a lot of us were zapped. I see some of us that we got zapped in the 70s. How many of you got Holy Spirit zapped in the 70s, right? Yeah. So we were really guys that got touched in a wonderful way. That was the charismatic movement. It was powerful. It was very sovereignly a great move of God. And I'm praying even if we had something like that, but I believe that there is something prophetically that's even better than that and greater. Let me say, I'm not saying better, but greater even greater power. And remember, there were people, I mean, coming out in droves. In California, they would have thousands that would have baptismal services and all that. And that is, God is making ready. You are just, you know, barely the beginnings of the teams that we need ready to bring that harvest in. We need to bring it in, pray it in, prophesy it in. All right, well, in that then, the healing is very much a vital part. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick, they shall recover them. It's very much part of the move of God. Azusa was very much, it began by the healing of an Indian gentleman. Papa Seymour went across the street and laid hands on a dying Sikh. Not sick man, Sikh. He's a sect from India. They wear turbans and all that, and he was very critically sick. And Seymour had laid hands on him. He was healed. And that was very congruent to the time the glory came, the explosion of the glory. And then people within, you know, several blocks, it's, you know, in the history of Parham's histories, all of that, that they would walk within a few blocks of where the glory was and be slain in the spirit. And we have had our meetings in Africa where miles from our meeting is that they were bringing people, demoniacs would start manifesting as they came within the grounds. And some of them would get delivered and healed and all that before, hours before we would start the meetings, because the glory was there, it was thickening. And may our churches be like that, where the glory is resident. Welcome Him. And if we love the stuff, we can, part of the thing about, I was talking about the Word, I was saying in this new era of anointing, I'm changing my language. I no longer, God corrected me some way. So you read the Word. Now the Word is reading you. You enter into the Word. Be it unto me according to the Word. And the Word, I honor the Word. I appreciate the Word. But there is a bunch of, you know, that is like the quack prophetic schools. There are some of them are running around there that so get into music and all that. And it's the kingdom of hippie and Woodstock coming back. And I don't smell the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. And the moment the music stops and the Word is being ministered, droves of these young people will walk out. Why? Because they have no respect for the Word. Well, God didn't say, I will confirm the music with signs following. So, I'll confirm my Word. So if those young people are not being trained to honor and love the Word, say something happening that's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we honor the Word. Any true revival will bring respect and love and appreciation for the Word of God. So, now, in that then, 1 Corinthians 12, says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Oh, Bumford would say, ignorant brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and so on and so forth. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So there are gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the nine gifts of the Spirit. And my thing would be, and I'm still a student of this subject. So when, as I come here, I'll tell you, boy, every day is a learning experience for me. But I've been in this, working in this for, 35 years or so. You know, I've seen people start celebrating. Say, well, our Baptist of our denominational church, our pastor of our denominational church got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? I said, that's great. It's better than not. But he's just beginning kindergarten. So he doesn't... It's not a by the way thing. That's where you begin. It's great to have all this education. But let me ask you, and this will show you where you're at. The older I get, the more I get where I don't really care about being politically correct. So let me ask you, would you sit under a ministry, which would be preference? Someone who can teach you for the next 6 months, every day, 10 hours a day, without stopping, and teach you some of the greatest teachings on the resurrection, or sit under someone who has raised someone from the dead? Which one would you prefer? Second one? Okay, B. Good. Thank you. I'm with the right people. But there is a real difference. Because we have so exalted logic and language and cleverness and all that. In, you know, where I got some of my undergraduate degree in the Southwest, and my graduate studies, you could not even think of being senior pastor of most of those nice churches all across Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Louisiana, all of those places, of a Baptist or a Church of Christ, or, unless you had your doctorate's degree from one of the seminaries. And you wouldn't even think of it. Then they had their doctor. We have our doctor and you have your doctor. And they would, you know, compare doctors. We have a doctor in this. And the thing is, you just need to lay those rods down and see which rod is budding in the night. And so, all right, as we receive them, we receive the fact that we want the anointing, then in this hour, then God, as we, the Lord will have us be mentored in this. How many of you saw, there's a great movie by with Jude Law called The Enemy at the Gate. It's a fun movie. And the thing, he becomes a hero because he has learned accuracy. And as a young man, he was discipled by his grandfather to be the most, he turns out to be the most accurate rifle shot in Russia. His name was Zaitsev. What was his first name? Do you remember? Anyway, the last name was Zaitsev. And it was a real true story in the Second World War. And they were looking for for someone who would be heroic. And suddenly they find this guy who's, the Russians suffered horribly under the invasion of the Nazis. And they were very, very cruel. And then they found this guy who could get the bad guys out so accurately. And he became the hero of Russia. Vasily, that was his name. Vasily Zaitsev. Enemy at the gate. But his thing was accuracy. Wherever he pointed his rifle, that situation was history. And God wants to, I'm just using that as an analogy to say God wants to make us more and more accurate in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And the Lord, He confirms His word with signs. And part of the signs is word of knowledge, word of wisdom. There will be manifestations of the supernatural as you flow in the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. You'll find that I talked a little about the glory last night. And to get more accurate in this realm, the closer you get to this realm that I was talking about called the glory, the more accurate you'll become. Because all the miracles are resident in this realm called the glory, which is the thick, literal, the presence, the Shekinah, the effulgence, the outraying of the presence of God. So it's the Holy Spirit. But the Bible calls that the glory. And when I have had the visitations, I've had experiences, I started learning about this and getting an impartation of it. Sister Ruth Heflin, her writing, I would recommend very much if you want to know some of this realm of the glory. And it is more caught than taught. But you want to respect it, honor it, love it. And the more you love it, the more people disdain it and minimize it. And the more they minimize healing or any of these things, the less you will see the manifestations in those situations. And so I would recommend, if you hang around those who disdain and mock the moves of God, the anointing of God, you can't lie down with dogs without picking up fleas. So you will pick up fleas of doubt, unbelief, and it just doesn't profit us that much. One day you will have to take a bath in the anti-flea liquid. It's better just prevent yourself from hanging out with some things that are totally will. Now, I'm not saying be sectarian or denominational at all, but those who don't receive the Holy Spirit, those who correct you when you want to go into healing or do, I would say go ahead and zap people and all that, make hundreds of mistakes. John Wimber, he prayed for 100 people and nothing happened. I mean, in fact, he talks about it. It's a very humorous and fun story. He would pray. He loved the stuff. He would say, love the stuff. If you love the stuff, eventually God says, okay, you pass the test. These things don't come that easily. I make it purposely. I mean, on one hand, I say it's easy. On the other hand, I say, but your heart should be totally for it. And then you will have some of it. And then you get in tune. And you find yourself doing some things that it's not unscriptural, but you find, what are you doing? I remember I was in Kensington Temple, which is the largest, supposed to be the largest church of England. And I was ministering. And I got up, they introduced me, here's Pastor Mahesh Chavda from America. They clapped and I came in. And I began talking in Swahili. And for a while, I talked in Swahili. And then went on. I mean, I know Swahili. I mean, I greeted them in Swahili. And then I said, what am I doing? But later at the break, there were three services that day. In between the break, I went out and, you know, they said, someone wants to see you, and we want you to see him. I said, okay. And he was second highest office of this major African country. And I won't tell you because it's kind of private. I didn't want to tell you, but Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya is the main ones that, so, but he was there and he said, I know you were greeting me, weren't you? In the whole audience. And I said, I knew I was greeting someone who was from that region. He said, well, I knew that it was for a reason and that God has a word. I said, yeah, I do. And I said, this is it. And then there were several things that he was to do and some cleansing in his life that because God was making him. And guess what? He got the chief. He was promoted to office. And the Lord wants to make us, you know, in a place where we are able to speak to kings and presidents. And they will come to the church of Jesus Christ for guidance and direction. The Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Therefore, it's power. When we generate power, you conduct it through, let's say, electricity. You don't want to tell people, you don't need electricity, you don't need light. We need light. God said, you need this power. So it's an obligation for the church and for its leaders to learn this thing. And the key then is your relationship of love with the Lord. The more in love you are, it's more a love relationship. It's not people make it a science. And it's not a science. I say, fall in love. You know, once you're in love, I mean, you can just do a signal and you're communicating. Isn't that right? Because you're one with the one you love. And so the art is to fall in love with the Lord and with everything He does. And you'll start becoming congruent. And just one little glance from Him and you will know what He's saying. I had in Toronto, the Lord gave me specifically, I said, there is an Indian family named Pace here. Stand up. And this lady stood up. I said, you have a sister who's got cancer overseas. And thus said the Lord, angel of the Lord is touching your sister. And she had a sister in Dubai. And she got healed that very week. We have, you know, results, you know, the examples of over and over again. If you're hungry, you'll have it. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you're hungry, you will see these manifestations. Sometimes the word of knowledge is, you can, how do you receive this? And it's a seeing and a hearing that is like, I get it in the pit of my stomach, in my belly. And I see it sometimes, but how is it? I don't see it here. I'm seeing it down here. How? I don't know. It just happens. Because you love the stuff, suddenly you're relating to the third person of the Holy Spirit. And a thought will come. Often, when it has nothing to do with what you're involved, suddenly a thought will come. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, He will never, there's some basic things that, you know, of course, it's a given. He'll never let you do something stupid or something unscriptural or something, you know, drive into the middle of the road. I mean, I'm talking to mature people. So He will never let you do things that will risk your life or anybody else's life. Or unscriptural, unethical, or illegal. You know, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's basic. It's given. But then the Lord, He will get to you. The more you get in tune, you will get a vision. Often, for me, I get visions. But some people sometimes can get a word or a thought. Sometimes it'll be a dream or a trance. I was on a 40-day fast one time. On the 40th day, I was lying down. I was too tired to even go to sleep, and I was lying down, and it was like a trance suddenly came over me. But it was an open vision. I was in the sleep, and I saw this Indian gentleman in this trance come up to me. He was very handsome. He had black hair in locks, and he wore this Indian vest, and he had beautiful Indian jewelry, and he came up, and the Lord said, give him water, and it was like there was no water at that time. And he had gone through a journey. He came back several days later, and he was torn and bloody and all of that. And the Lord said, again, give him water. And so I thought the Lord was talking to me, giving me a prophetic word about the Indian nations and that there would be a revival there and He would give them the living water. So that night, I had a meeting. So I went there. And I was describing and I was saying, God wants to give living waters to the Indian nations, and He's about to give you know, some of the greatest breakthroughs for that, and we need to pray for that and all that. And what? And I described the Indian, this in, that I saw in the trance, and this, you know, many people saw, of course, that were there, to the consternation of everybody. In walked, literally, an Indian gentleman from the Indian nations. With black hair, exactly like described, wearing a skin vest, wearing some of the most gorgeous Indian jewelry. And he walked up and didn't sit down. He walked up right up to the aisle, up towards where I was speaking, and he said, I need Jesus. I need God. He didn't sit in the meeting. He came up, and he came to Christ, and then found the story that his wife had asked him for a divorce. He was in somewhere, it was of a tribe somewhere around the Missouri area, and he was just weeping, crying. He was brokenhearted that his marriage was going through a mess. He had done some terrible things, and he was repenting. And suddenly, he saw this golden light all around this building. We didn't have any giant crosses or anything like that. It was a regular, huge building, brick building. He drove in, parked, then he saw the small sign, Good News Church. Walked in. And he was desperate. And so we brought him to the Lord, and then his wife flew in. They got restored, and I baptized both of them in water. But it was a time. But it was a literal thing too. So often there are things that the Lord is right there. He's giving you supernatural stuff. And Bonnie and I were in Gwangju City in holding a revival in Korea. We were the plane, we had to get to the airport at 5. We got up at 3 to drive up to the airport and be there. The plane was leaving around 5:30, something like that. And then there was bad weather in Seoul, Korea, where we had to get a connecting flight. So we sat there, and I was so tired. I don't know if there are Koreans here, but Koreans are so hungry for prayer. They are wonderful people. I love them. They're hungry. There's nothing standoffish with them. And when you pray, if you've been in Toronto, you'll see a whole phalanx of Koreans. And you say, I want to pray for only 9-month pregnant women who are only 9 months pregnant. Only women who are pregnant 9 months. And all the Korean men will line up. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're missing a uterus, you can come here and we'll pray for it. All the men will turn up. I mean, they won't listen to any kind of... I mean, if there's anyone of laying on of hands, they will get prayer. So anytime we had any kind of prayer, everybody, I mean, they want it all and wanted prayer. So I was so tired. And I didn't... There's a time where you just say, okay, enough. I want to go home. So I was sitting at Gwangju Airport. You know, Revelation Book of John says, and I was there on the Lord's Day in the Spirit. But I was not on the Lord's Day in the Spirit at all. I was murmuring to myself, I'm so tired. Oh, and the plane is canceled. Thank you very much. Murmuring. Not in a good place. And this lady with the shoeshine shop looks at me and realizes she had seen my poster and bows several times, comes, you know, Korean, and says, can you... And my interpreter said, you know, the local pastor there, she said, he knows I just don't want to be bothered. I'm not looking even at him or anybody. And not even at Bonnie, who was sitting there near. And he said, Pastor, this woman says she wants prayer. Would you mind? I said, all right. I didn't even look at her. She said, okay. I held her hand. And I said, your husband beat you up. And your son is in the army. And your daughter is in the university. And thus saith the Lord. And then, poof, okay, she starts crying. Tells the people who are working with her. They come. And I am seeing things in detail. All the things of their lives. And then the stewardesses and the pilots hear about it. And they line up. And then it goes on and on. They're phoning the city. And pastors of Gwangju City drive to the airport and line up. And literally the whole airport is lined up. And I'm just holding it, and my eyes are still closed most of the time now still. And now I know there's something that's happening. There was one of the pastors came and said, I'm a pastor. I said, yeah, pastor, I see the building plans that you have. These are the building plans. And you have put the bathrooms in the wrong place. And this is where any... what that was... Someone else took over, and it wouldn't stop till it was 12 o'clock, noon, and they said the weather has cleared in Seoul, Korea, and the plane is going to go in, 30, 40 minutes. I said, thank you, Jesus. But in the meantime, there was someone else who was giving. It has very little. So if you realize that in this flow, the more you get yourself out of it, the better it is. When he takes over and you're giving a word, there is a way in which you will learn after a while to just gently step aside. And if you will do so, he, the person of the Holy Spirit, will take over. He is the power of the universe, but he's also the humblest person in the universe. It's hard. As to the degree that he is the power, to that degree, to understand his personality, he is also humble to the opposite side. So you have to cultivate this relationship. It's a challenge. Once, you know, as a child, when you were a child, he'll treat you as a child, but there is a time where he is so gentle. And so you don't have to be overpowering. The more gentle inside you are of heart, the more you'll find he will reside with you and flow through you like a river. All right. Do I need to cease? What? Am I on? Yeah, sorry. I needed to flow with the program here. Let me give you just a few recommendations, then I want to answer some questions, and then we'll do an impartation thing. Okay? You'll find that when you start getting this, and I will pray that you will start getting, we got to begin somewhere, all right? And if you've never flowed in the word of knowledge, go for it. Each of you, there are such desperate needs out there. And God will show you. It's so much left to God, and there is a place you don't. I think God wants to restore a style of integrity of moving in the anointing that is not hype. And I stopped watching much of, even though I'm Christian television, I've got to confess this, but I don't watch Christian TV. Thank you. I hear that amen, my sister. I'm sorry, but much of it was such hype. And I said, if this is God, I don't know whether I want it, you know. And I'm a pastor. But that's the wrong kind of modeling. And I pray that we restore as much as we can. Because we have to model the right things. Thing is, you don't give to the degree you have. Don't exaggerate in the word of knowledge. The Lord will give you something. Just give that. But often, if you respect the Lord enough and you pause, you start training yourself, and then the Lord says, wow. I mean, at least he has found someone he can talk with. can all relate with. You're hovering around that particular word. I usually see a vision. So, let's say that I saw a few months ago, I saw this Brian. I saw the word Brian. And now I've been doing this for 35 years, so understand that this may not come that clearly at the beginning. Just don't be disappointed if it doesn't come like this. I mean, this is an art, not necessarily a science. But I saw Brian. Okay. Don't totally jump into it unless you're under pressure, time pressure to have to do it. That's why, by the way, you'll find that I don't... If you're going to be pastors, if you're going to be ministering, now this is me. Now you may be a different style. They used to ask John Wimber, Brother John, what do you do before a healing or miracle service? He said, I eat potato chips and watch TV. But I can see what he was doing. He was saying how he relaxed he was. That's true. But what he was, one of the other things he was doing was he was alone. And it's hard for us as pastors to have to do that. But before a meeting, you got to get into. I find that I can have people congruent to the anointing around me before. Now, I'm not saying during. During, you can bring any demonized person screaming, and it doesn't matter. I mean, but before, the devil will send his emissaries to deplete you. It's like building up a battery charge, all right? And you... I'm giving you my trade secrets. But the enemy will send people to deplete you of your charge. And it'll totally zzz. And then they will say, okay, go on. And you're going, you already lost your charge. Try to guard that charge until you are there in the pulpit. Now, you can, if you are the ministering person, you can get in the worship. But see what, now there are different people, different things. You may get built up by listening to classical music. Someone else may like country music. It doesn't matter, So I like classical. But whatever will get you in tune. But there is a vibration. And then, see, that's why those of you who are committee members or something, you are around people. If you want the anointing, now, if you want lectures, that's something else. If you want anointing, that's a whole different ballgame. Guard the people who carry the anointing, not because you want to spoil them or they are spoiled brats, but they are. I know that I carry certain things at a certain time, and I may not even know it. Sometimes I know I get a word or so on. Sometimes I'll written down a whole bunch of names of people that the Lord has given. So it's different ways. But guard those people's anointings until they're there. Or you as a pastor, surround yourself with people. It's not to be acting spoiled. And there are so many obligations we have as pastors. But try to delegate it so that before your ministry time, things are not messing with your brain. Because you are going to lose the charge or the anointing you have. So, proper delegation. I have some of the finest people in my team who know. Now, it's funny. I'll be making jokes and all that, but I'm in tune. Those are on tune. Those who are on me, they're at the same level. But if there isn't, I don't want arguments at the time or things like that or wrong directions and all stuff. It'll. I often go to situations and I say, they have brought me in, paid a first-class ticket to bring me in and all that. They paid the expenses, all of, and then why do they not realize they made an investment and not be smart about getting the best from the person? And I found often they don't know how to help steward it, you know. And I mean, and they have said, you know, and there are audiences of 5,000, 7,000, 7,000, but the people don't know much about the anointing. Anyway, be that as it may, you want as you get. Your heart of attitude towards the Lord should be humble. You'll find often that, now this is me, but I make funny jokes and all that. It's just because I realize the anointing, for me at least, flows when I'm not hyper. Hyper-religiosity and anointing, I don't think, are congruent. Religious legalism. People who are over-serious about this, they get so intense, they lose it. It's hard. I was with Jeff, and he was asking me a question yesterday at lunchtime. And I said, it's very much like, you know, the golfing coach will say, and I always don't understand, but I understand what I'm saying, is they will say, now don't hold it tight. Don't hold that thing, you know, just be very easy and then swing. He says, what do you mean, no, don't hold it tight? If I don't hold it tight, it'll, the golf club itself will go swinging through the air. But that's when the anointing is, don't hold it tight. Relax. The more you relax, the more the flow. What I was saying, now praying in the Spirit will help you. And the familiar with, you know, really good familiarity with the Word of God is very good. Fasting, individual and corporate, will help you facilitate the Word of knowledge flow. I got that word like Brian. Not that Brian, but maybe Brian. That maybe since I'm talking about Brian, may the Lord's glory touch your body in a special way today and recharge your batteries in Jesus' name. Since I'm talking about batteries, we may have to lay hands on you and recharge your battery too. You focus on it, but just kind of be relaxed about it. And then, don't jump into that word immediately. Ease off a little bit. It's like a video camera. You get a, what do you call it, a particular shot. You home in, what do you call it?
Close-up,
that's right. You have a close-up. The close-up says Brian. Then you pan back, right? And more a panoramic, beginning to get a more panoramic shot. Well, with the Brian, this was really how it happened. I mean, this is the truth that happened just a few months ago. I got Brian, and I zoomed back a little bit, and I saw Eliza. Now they had, I could have, who knows, people could say, well, you may have seen his badge or something, which I mean, you know, it's a possibility. I did not met him, because I usually keep to myself before a conference. But I not only saw his name, but then I saw Eliza. Then I looked at his, and I saw the legs really messed up. I thought there was something wrong with the legs. It was his leg. But then I zoomed in my lights, and I was seeing her and her condition, which she was in great depression. So the Lord, and then he gave me some other stuff for the family. But I had not only had the word of knowledge, Brian. Secondarily, Brian, it was not just, Brian, there is God's going to do something. That's okay. I mean, that's better than nothing. I'll get names of people, their children's names, I'll get their street addresses sometimes on occasion. Now, it's not guaranteed. We are talking about the supernatural realm. But just a moment, I waited for that little while, and I got the daughter's name, I got the depression she was in, and the glory of God came over the whole family. Healed his leg, healed his daughter, and the people saw, this is for real. Okay? All right. Now, I shouldn't be giving away my trade secrets. All of these are my trade secrets, darn it. I feel like you could just say, don't say, God told me that thus saith the Lord. I get nervous around those kind of things. Watch your language. Just say, I sense you may have a difficulty with your leg or you have a pain in your neck or something. And be humble in your language. It's all right. And then the glory will be there. There was a time where the Lord gave me a word. This was in Hungary at Faith Church. This, they have at that time they had 18,000 members. I think they have much more now. And had a word that there's someone who had, couple of people who had tried to commit suicide were tremendous pressure, wanted to commit suicide. And I said, come up here. And 1,000, it was at least 1,000, it might have been 1,025 something, but there was at least 1,000 were counted. Stood up, and I said, what am I supposed to do now? Am I start praying for every one of them here right now? And so I closed my eyes for a moment saying, Lord, what am I going to do? And I opened my eyes because I didn't get an answer. And I opened my eyes and everyone was on the floor. And the Lord said, I'm the helper. Relax. Alrighty. What was the other thing that Lenny said? There was something else that... That's right. Yeah. I've had this kind of thing a couple of times, several times, in fact. But this was, I think this was in my Atlanta meeting. But the first thing sometimes the Lord gave me was, this one was, I said, the word I get is Reese's peanut butter cup. And inside I was saying, thank you very much, Lord, for making the servant of God look the silliest person around here. And sure enough, there was a woman. Her sick puppy's name was Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And that was her very sick puppy. And now, who would have known that? But, people knew the Lord was there giving, touching these people. So, you don't have to
It's better to just kind of flow, and you don't have to make up this big thing about I got to look dignified and I got to look proper and all of that. The only person who needs to be glorified is Jesus. So how many of you are willing to look like fools for the Lord? Good. You can remember this day as the day you raised your hand publicly in the sight of the servant of God and said, I'm willing to be a fool if I can be used by the Lord. All right? So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray a general prayer for impartation, and then we'll see how we want to go. But Landy, there were some questions that people would have. Okay. Why don't you share that? Good, yeah. You will get... sometimes, see, the thing is, this is learning the language of the Holy Spirit. And it's not that he is having difficulties. We are the ones. But he wants to communicate with us. And he's so wonderful and gracious, and he wants to relate to us. And so there are times where he will use the agency of sound, of memory, of pictures. And you got to learn in the anointing, just be so... The less you are agendized, the better you are. Okay? I get... By the way, that was one of the words that I had for some of you pastors. There are some that God's going to anoint you for raising up teams under you. And there are people... My prayers is that have the team members that you promote, if their hearts are one with you and one with the kingdom, it's great. Do not promote those who have their own agendas, even if you need them and even if they are talented, because eventually you will rue the day that you did that. You find in the list of the mighty men of God, mighty men of war, of David's mighty men of war, there are, in fact, he says, here are the 30, and then he adds 37 more, so 37. But in all of them, you never find Abner, and yet he was the general. The reason I looked at it and I found the reason was he was a man who had his own agenda, and so he's not listed in David's mighty men of war. So God will give you humble men and women. Pick those who don't have their own agenda, those who have delusions or illusions or whatever. When you're putting your teams together, it's important who you add. Now, coming back to getting the word, I get sounds, I get songs, and I put them together. Like, for example, when I was looking, it'll be quickly... things will happen, and I put them together. Like in that thing of Eliza first, I didn't see the letter Eliza. I heard when I saw Brian, then I heard the song, I kind of planned back. And instead of seeing a picture, I heard, I could have danced all night, could have danced all night. And I said, Eliza Doolittle. Eliza, you see? And that's weird, but I like musicals. So, and the Lord picked something that I knew that he could communicate with. And he's so creative. And he's the Holy Spirit. He's God. But he picked something that is in my track record. So if you like songs, you like literature, whatever, he'll start connecting a few things for your sake. And then it behooves you to at least make a little effort to connect the dots. And he'll help you even there most time. But you've got to do something on your part by faith. And it is faith. Say faith.
Faith.
So how do you connect it? Faith. And do not be afraid of making mistakes. So, this is post-advanced, postgraduate things of moving in the Holy Spirit. Because most times people don't even, I'm talking about getting names and things like that. That's way out there. Usually, most people don't ever get there. They just say, I feel someone has a left knee that's hurting. That's okay. But I'm talking about way out there how I'm getting this. And then I got, the thing was, I saw a picture of a bird. Now, in fact, I had seen on the internet some bird. I was going to, I like duck hunting and goose hunting. So I was looking at different artworks of different birds and all that. And I saw one of these too. And then I heard song, the bird singing and all that. I heard that. And I put it together and it's a bird song. And I felt there was the name was Birdsong. And there was a person named Birdsong. Last night, I saw a ray of light coming in a general direction. I thought it was knitted. I just said, ray. You saw that? But it was a ray of light. I saw the light, and I was seeing a ray. And then I knew it meant Ray, but Ray, it's good. Where are you, Ray? There you are. But I don't think I'd met you before. Or I might have, but I don't think I had. So I didn't know he was there. But you will see the language, the Lord. And I was singing. And again, I heard a song and all that. And I said, well, there's a beautiful melody. And I thought, Melody, something like that last night, remember? So that's how I put things together. Like in Singapore when we were there last year, I began with, there was someone named Have you heard of Mm? I said, Lord, what game are you playing with me? And there was one of the first names I got was And there was a. Hey, it was fun. Bonnie said, how did you get that? Another question. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I appreciate Lenny asking, because he reminds me of some of the stuff that I've said and that would be helpful. Sometimes you see a person and then you will see, you're watching and then you see a face superimposed on them. And it may be someone else that you know, or someone in history or something. But it'll connect the situation of that other person with this person. So the Lord is trying to connect that for you, saying, this person is having, the person that you know had a struggle, let's say, with depression, and this person is having the same kind of struggle. Or their daughter ran away, and this person has this real struggle with a daughter that possibly has done something, da 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 da. Okay? Amen.
What are some of the practical things people can do? I love
Yeah. The remember when I said, I think I'd be somewhere, I said, talked a lot about the glory and the atmosphere, that you decide the atmosphere. Remember I said GPS versus sonar. And sonar is, you know, and we still use some measure of sonar, but GPS is the primary thing. What is the heaven saying to you? So the atmosphere is determined by the heavenly atmosphere. You are the ambassador of the heavenly atmosphere. You change the equation wherever you are. If there is distress, if there is whatever, you bring God's answer into a situation. Therefore, atmosphere, you are the steward of the atmosphere. In a wider sense then, as pastors, as leaders, in your home, of course, but in the church home, the atmosphere should be the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And do all that you can that honors the Holy Spirit. In, of course, in the worship, in your talk, don't let anybody say negative things or disdain the supernatural things of God, healing, miracles, deliverances. These are really when this is what I call the royalty, the kingdom. When Jesus came, that was the King of Glory coming. What happened? When the royalty came on the stage, what happened? Healings happened, deliverance happened. He gave, by the way, Jesus didn't give, if you look anywhere, tell me where he gave grand, long theological discussions. He didn't. Just stood up, told a few, basically told stories. And then laid down a few principles. He was not known. Nowhere would you say Jesus is the ultimate model for ministry? Is there anyone better? All right, then why do we exalt other models? And is that true? So I remember sometimes seeing someone say, I don't want to hear the stories too much. And I said, you'll be disappointed, because when you hung around Jesus, he just told stories. And then a few little things. It wasn't deep, deep. Be suspicious of when people say, hey, it was so deep, deep. That's just trying to tickling your something that I have great reservations about. Because that's not where the resurrection glory is. You got around Sister Ruth. For me, she was an awesome model of the glory anointing. And she would hum, let's sing, and you would say, oh Lordy, if I was, you know, what is this silly woman doing? And you would start seeing her body shimmering with the glory of face and all her clothing with the just, and my daughters were with me and we were eating, transformed my daughters. Here was a lady, oh, Brother May, isn't the Lord great? She came out, washed her hand from the bathroom, sitting at the dinner. So let's sing some before we eat. And, the glory, oh, the glory. And as she sang, woof, I mean, her body was shining with gold. Her clothing, she wore this deep blue. You know, in fact, it's this color. But if you love the stuff, cultivate that attitude that you love the stuff with your people. And the Lord will know. You know, I mean, when you go into someone's house, you know obviously where you're welcome, is that right? If you're not welcome, you'll know it also. The Lord knows where He's welcome, where His manifestations are welcome. There are some who say, the whole churches, you know, then there are the, we are the seeker friendly, or we are this and all that. Don't you dare raise your hand. I know literally grand big churches that have said, if you raise your hand, we'll lead you to the bathroom, because it'll be a sign that you want to go to the bathroom. You know, literally, and that if people fall down, we will call the ambulance, because it'll be because you are having a heart attack. And I mean, and basically they're making fun of charismatics. So I wasn't born yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about. Fine, we are not welcome. That's all right. I say to people who don't want it, thank you. This is the royal stuff. This is the royal meal. At least for me. I don't know about you. And I'm not going to try to teach you my values. I love this stuff. If you don't want it, fine. But I love to hear where people were dying and the cancer went away. That their child was in homosexuality and got suddenly delivered and he's come home. I mean, this is, for me, hallelujah. That's the great stuff. Amen. Glory. Praise you, Jesus. Kari, let's sing All the Glory. Father, I pray. So I want you to just raise your hands wherever you are. Lord, we have talked this morning about precious and wonderful treasures of the Holy Spirit. We don't take one thing for granted. I ask the wonderful, wonderful gifts of the Spirit to flow even more gloriously than ever before in each of us. We welcome your glorious gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All this discerning of spirits, these, your servants, Lord, wait. We so treasure. There is a generation that's desperate, Lord, that's wounded, Lord, that's held captive, Lord. Have mercy, Son of David, on our nation or our generation. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Let your glory flow in each of these, your servants, as never before. In Jesus' name, I pray for a Holy Ghost impartation for everyone. Now, let them become one with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit become one with us, as never before. More of the glory. Let it come, Lord, as never before. As never before. The wall of separation is gone. Where, Lord, we were part of anything that made fun of the things of the Holy Spirit, we repent now in Jesus' name. We renounce it as sin, and now we welcome the wonderfulness of the Holy Spirit. Raise up a new generation, men and women, who can represent the flow of Azusa as never before. Thank you, oh wonderful Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I felt things start happening. Some of you, close your eyes right now, over here, on this side, and see what pictures God gives you right now. Maybe for the other side, there'll be some you will get, and then we'll do the exchange thing right now, in a moment. God gives you a picture right now of something, a need, a name, something. Okay. Raise your hand if God gave you a picture or something. Okay, honey. Flowers. All right. Good. What about you, son? Covered wagon. Okay. Good. There. An escalator. Good deal. Flowers, covered wagon, escalator, whatever. Back there, lady. Paradise? Bird of paradise. Good. Cooking. All right. Someone else. Well, there was another hand. Tree. Okay. Good. Now, is someone live on oak or some kind of tree? Something. Fir, neighborhood, fir, something. Huh? Hickory. Okay, hickory. Huh? Okay. Good. I'm connecting now. The thing, and that has happened often for me. I'll just see the tree now. You know, what would have been better would have been for you to kind of just now gotten a panoramic thing. See? Okay, the Lord was saying something, I believe, for you. And this is Master Yoda here putting it together for you. Anyway, I'm sorry. But this has happened to me. And I saw the tree. And then I zoomed back, and then I saw what tree it was. But the tree, so often there is a time that someone lives on that street, but there is more on it. Because there is, now I got that, in fact, it was in, I think it was Minnesota, that I got, there was a lady who had a terminal sickness, and they talked to her. She was nervous about this kind of stuff, and she really didn't believe in the Lord or something, but she was desperate. Her neighbor, who is a believer, brought her, and the first word I had was the name of the street she lived on. And, I mean, they ran up, because I said, the person, you have a terminal disease, you live on this street. I mean, poof, the first word. I mean, I began the service with that. I didn't even go into the word. So, we're going to, all right, Now that's one. We'll stay. You know, we'll come back to Hickory for a moment. In a moment, but we got covered wagon. Now, covered wagon. There can be different ways to go with this. So, I, you know, don't get as much as, see, it could be someone who was, you know, see, that's a beginning. Now, that's good, but that's a beginning. Now, that's a type, see. But you might have been in something like an SUV, a Dodge Caravan, something like that, and got an injury. Okay? Now, this is the way I would often have seen that. And I'll see a vehicle, and I zoom back, and then I see the accident. And then I will know there was someone that had an accident there. So, but has anybody been in this section, had an injury from an accident? All right. Is there someone? Wait, raise your hand if it is. Did you get an injury? That's her, right? Yeah. Yeah, see, and that could have aggravated her situation. See, traumas, this is a whole another thing, how things can enter in. If you get certain traumas, accidents are traumas. Even a small thing like that, it is true that could aggravate it. And then, in that aggravation, there is a spiritual force, an entity, a demonic oppression that will come, that we have to take authority over. So that's one thing. There was another one who raised the hand. There was a gentleman. Yeah, yes, son. What's your name first? Pat. All right. Well, have you been in injury or your loved one? You have. What kind of injury? Your neck was broken? Nose was broken. Okay, did it injure anything else, like your sense of smell or anything like that? You can't breathe out of it. Okay. Now, see, That's a good thing. We will pray for both of you, all right? Because that connects me with that. And there is a need. Do you see that? Do you see now that there's a little bit of, kind of, you're getting an idea of how to connect some of these dots here. All right. Then there was Bird of Paradise. Now that's pretty good. I'm right now not getting, you know, there are because it was your word. Do you get something else on it, honey? Not that I'm trying to put it. I'm saying right now I'm on empty in this area. I don't get anything. But what do you get, sweetie? Do you get something? I'm sorry? Lenny, can you get me a mic or something? Yeah, come up. Well, yeah, hola, Lenny's coming to you. We need to...
Hi, Lenny. As soon as that word was given, I said, that's us. That's our house.
Is that
right? I'm not crazy about birds, to be quite honest with you, but it started with an antique Bird of Paradise rug. Literally, I have wallpaper that has that. I have birds all over.
All right.
People enter and say, you must like birds. And I say, not really. I love the colors and everything else. But
all right.
As soon as that, it's a strange word and it's a strange thing.
That's very good. It fits you. Mm-hmm. See, now that's exact enough. I like it. And what else, honey?
Well, the covered wagon.
Uh-huh.
Given a word maybe 6 months ago or so, from someone who did not know my husband or myself, and he was with us for about 15 minutes and said, we didn't even talk about this, he said, God is saying, he said, you are pioneers. That's what cover wagon means to me.
Right.
You're pioneers, you're not settlers, and you're God is just reminding you that you're kind of in the wrong place because you're pioneers, not settlers.
Excellent. Yeah, let's pray. We'll lay hands on you and kick you out of whatever situation so you can go in your covered wagon and go forth. Yeah, that's good. Two things kind of fit in you today. That's out of the mouth of two witnesses. So that you should feel the Lord, you know, God loves you.
You feel it's a location.
Okay.
We have backed up from the word of paradise from the one who gave it, and she has additional contribution.
All righty. Well, it already fits in, honey. We already claimed it anymore, and you're going to confuse us. No, I'm just kidding. But go ahead. If there's something else that you got.
When I said it, it was birds of paradise. It was multiple.
Yeah, but that doesn't
and,
matter.
And so I think she's correct about that part. It's a location.
Yeah. Well, for me, see, you don't, once it fits into something, don't overplay it. It's so much this that I would, you know, in my thing, would be, it's already claimed. So you get it in the ones who can claim it, connect it, because there is something. See, God is no respecter of persons. Anyone can claim a word from God. That I was at CBN 700 Club and I said, there's a woman wearing a red sweater. You have been crippled by arthritis and God is healing you right now. And there was a lady in her 30s who had been crippled in Colorado Springs. And her children were being taken care of by other people. She was wearing a red sweater. She jumped out and ran down the stairs, first time in 10, 12 years, whatever it was, something like that. But they said 30 other women called in to CBN saying, we were healed, we were wearing a red sweater. My thing was, I should have said, Anne Marie with wearing the red sweater, I suppose. I don't know. No. But when you get that, God is so generous, says your servant gives any kind of word that's semi anywhere near the situation. And 20 people, 30 people have faith to say, Jesus, oh please, Son of David, have mercy on me. They'll say, of course it's for you. You understand? Work always out of the generous heart of God. If two or three people claim that, don't say, unless you really feel like specific, then do it, but then also pray for the others too, who think they are somewhere near what you gave or you're sharing. Bless them also, because the connection of anointing is what's making the connection. Alrighty, good. What we'll do, alright, we will now, but I wanted equal opportunity here. You guys close your eyes right now. And you guys raise your hands to the Lord. And Father, in Jesus' name, I bless this section to get the words now in Jesus' name. The pictures, whatever you're giving. Amen. All righty. Good. Okay, guys, anybody saw anything? Yeah. Quick. Louder, I'm sorry. Measleton?
Measles.
Okay.
Then also a stream with trees next to the base of a mountain, like a little gazebo.
Okay, gazebo. Good. All right. Yeah, honey, did you have a word there?
Yeah, actually, I'm going back to the covered wagon.
Yeah?
I fought for years with fibromyalgia. And the starting point for that disease was an automobile accident that I had. Okay. So I feel like the Lord has gone back to the root
okay.
of that thing.
Yeah, okay. You can claim that, but there was a gazebo thing there. And yeah, Krista? Thank you, Father.
Oh, okay. I actually saw something for everybody. Yeah. All of a sudden I saw this unbelievable lightning coming under the floor on either side, and it came up and through every person. Some people were being thrown up into the air. Then all of a sudden, an earthquake came from the beginning of the room all the way down and split it into two. And then this water came up and flowed out of it and went all under our feet and rose up just about to our waist. And everybody just started drinking it and was just filled.
That's good. Boy, I want you to write my prophetic words down, Krista. I like that, the way you colorfully put all those things together. Yeah, brother, way back there. Yeah, you have your hand up. What?
Saw an eagle soaring in the air.
Okay. Good. All right. We have
I saw a new car engine on a jack being prepared to be installed.
All right.
I saw that rocket in the Looney Tunes where Bugs Bunny gets in a rocket and goes to the moon. I saw that funny looking rocket type of thing ready to blast off.
Wow. And he landed with that Martian whose name was Al Gore or something. Yeah, we can't hear you. Sorry, son.
Can you hear me? Oh, there it is. What I saw was one single drummer on a snare. And then I was taken back, and then it went from one single one to a whole line. I just had the phrase drum line.
That's good. Okay. All right. Yeah. Quickly. And then we want to go claim it on the side, and we'll connect it.
I saw something Jessica the Planets had said about being in heaven, and it was Jesus, and it was a profile with his brown hair on the side.
Hmm. Okay. All right. One last one. We'll take one last one. That brother way back there, we're making Lenny have his exercise.
I seen like a bright star on somebody's eye, like the northern star.
Okay, great. Now, let's interpret some of that. Is someone, how does a gazebo fit in? If someone have a gazebo in your yard or something. Okay. The other thing was... the eagle, and that's to do with prophetic and all of that, but right now I'm finding it a little difficult to place it in particular situations. Son. You do have a gazebo on the side of your house. Yeah. I wish there was something more about, what else was the thing in the gazebo? Trees and a stream. We don't have that. And the measles and the mumps. Do we have someone or a child or a grandchild who was touched by some kind of measles, mumps that could have hurt them or something? I'm trying to connect. These are not my words. So I'm kind of seeing what would be the way we could. Yes, son.
On his, I saw people ice skating on a lake.
On a what?
On a lake. On a lake. Frozen water on a lake. Ice skating.
Okay. That was for them. Does that witness to you guys? Is that right? Oh, excellent. So that word is for you guys. And we would pray for, Would you get any kind of prophetic word then for that situation? Would you say something? What impression you got? Because... Okay. That could be that, something redemptive happening with your family. That, God is a God of resurrection. And some old things are past. Behold, I make old things new. Let's look at the things. God was always the God of redemption. So the Holy Spirit, when He gives a word, By the way, always, that's why you'll find around me. I never find, get a witness on a lot of these crazy prophetic things that just prophesy death and doom and all of that. I just never get it. It's just God, that's how the Holy Spirit does. When He gives something, it's always for the redemptive, to build people up, to build families up. So there is something, and that I really like that word about the ice skating thing, that there is, you know, whatever, you know, ice skating is so beautiful, it's so rhythmic and, you know, so graceful that whatever your family has faced, and especially the next generation, they're going to be skating out of it. Just the Lord is there helping your kids skate out of this. Is there one particular one challenge that is you guys are facing in your kids? Okay. Which one is that? Is it okay. Okay. All right. What's your last name? Candler? Okay. Well, we're going to release the blessing on the Candler family today. And that child, the grandchild with Down syndrome, that God is going to bring glory as you have never dreamt it through this very situation. And we pray in your son's situation that the Lord is helping, you know, where he thought he would sink, that this is not a situation where he would sink, but it's a situation where he'll skate and make it across just fine. And because, you know, the family of God is praying right now and releasing a special breakthrough. And that opposition that's been there, we bind that in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a clap. We thank you, Father. I so thank you. I appreciate. See, this is, and we need to do sometime. We'll have to do practice two or whatever some other time. What I want to do is some of the ones that were names that I thought these were specific for you guys, like you and all that. I wanted to come up and stand here. The rest of you guys, let's stand, if you don't mind. And what I want to do is, because there is also, I mean, it's wonderful things going on this afternoon and others, but the glory is there. Like Krista's word is, there is a fire, right, that was going, what was from the feet? Lightning. I love that. Lightning. That's Zechariah 10 also. Yeah. Power. And let the power of God go through your feet. I want you to visualize electricity and lightning. Lightnings are the glory of one of the ways God manifests His glory is through lightnings. And let the lightnings of God go up your feet. And I want you to, if you are separated from others, get near some of the people and put your hand on each other right now. We thank you. And I need the catchers. Was there someone else? And that lady. Yeah, come over here. And there's a lady who's getting severe migraines. Where are you? That the person is getting severe migraines. You can make your way up. And Brian, come up here. Since we used your name in vain all this time and all that, we'll pray for you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. New strength for you. We praise you and thank you. And then the brother that had the accident? Yeah, come over here. See, I remembered. I really believe real relief in your nose. Okay, and you've not been able to breathe well from that thing? Okay. Amen. In fact, that was a trauma, something tried to come in, and okay, it's going to go. The Lord's going to help pull out something that's negative. Oh, hallelujah. Carry this play. Oh, Lord, you are beautiful. And we give you praise, Lord. We thank you. And I'm specifically praying that the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, will flow in each of you. Obstructions are going in the name of Jesus. And the key, remember what I said, the key is always look at Jesus and the glory, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's His glory. Oh Lord, you are beautiful. Right now, that's the key I feel like. Oh, Kashaka, let His glory go through you. In the Candler family, the Lord's glory is touching you. I'm glad for the family who had a word for you on the ice skating. He's right there next to you. You guys have the anointing. Just pray. Pray, thank you for your child being touched, your grandchild. Special, special. And the glory of God touching your son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More, 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 more. That sciatica is being healed now. In the name of Jesus, God is touching that. And the shadows try to come back again and again. I command that infirmity to let you go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Fire, God. Bless your ministry, Richard. Amen. Release you. Multiplicity. It's not just one, but the doubles are coming in your life. Places and houses the Lord gives you in the name of Jesus. And deliverance, honey, it's a new day. And I make all things new. The Lord, your past and all the hurt, is in His hands. And there's a new treasure bag God gives you today. In the, just like a little girl, and a treasure chest God has for you. All the old garbage is burned up. In the name of Jesus. The glory come, touch you, son, your ministry, Brian. The glory touch you, Brian. New strength for you, much to do in the kingdom of God, and release fresh levels of finances and blessing for you. And the glory, commanding spirit of infirmity in your back to go, Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big clap offering. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory. Glory. Amen. Amen. Woof. Hallelujah. Amen. You're dismissed.